Welcome to the She's a 10 times 5 show with hosts Lori Jabbar and Michelle Emick. We're bringing public figures, subject matter experts, and other accomplished guests to the Studio 50 table to serve you up the best tips, tricks, and key takeaways that all us midlifers want to know about. Okay, time to join us for some times 5 fun. Let's go. This week's guest is world-renowned Dr. Amir Karim. Dr. Karim is double board certified by the American Board of Facial Plastic and Reconstructive Surgery. Dr. Karim has developed his patented vertical restore and vertical prevent techniques designed to address laxity and the facial shape changes associated with aging, with customized fat transfer as an innovative way to permanently replace facial volume. In this episode, Dr. Karim will give us 5 key things we need to know in order to look as good as we feel on the inside. Let's go.
Hi, this is Shannon Blass, and I'm the author of the Thriving to 50 and Beyond journal. This is a brand new journal that's about making the rest of your life the best part of your life. And that all starts by creating a really good day. As we move into this next chapter of life, it's easy to lose our focus and to spend a lot of time looking back or too far into the future. Our hormones may be going crazy and we just don't feel like ourselves. This journal is meant for you to help you focus on self-care, being present, and making the rest of your life the best part of your life. You can find the journal on Amazon, or you can also check out my website at thrivingto50andbeyond.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to She's a 10 times 5. I am Lori and I have my pal and co-host Michelle here with me. Hey Michelle.
Hello, glad to be here.
Yeah, you are. All right.
What a great topic.
We got a great topic, and this is right up your alley for many, many reasons. We are bringing back to the table Dr. Amir Karim, the hot doc.
Mm-hmm. He's going to talk about how we can look as good as we feel.
Thank you for that. Yep. Yes. I kept getting that backwards. It's, you know, we want to look as good as we feel, because I personally want to look 25, because that's how I feel.
Yes. And I, years of working with women, and primarily women over 50, and they used to say, Michelle, I know I'm like 60, but I still feel 25 in the inside. And so, you know, maybe we're not turning the clock back that far, but if there's some things that we can do to help us restore, you know, that youthful appearance, then I want to know about them.
Yes. And, you know, Dr. Karim he's a world-renowned facial plastic surgeon, but he's also done a lot of studying and developed his own skincare line. So I think he's going to talk about all the things that we can do and control on our end to help slow down the aging process. But here's what I love about him. He's kind of an old bullshit guy too. Like, he's going to give us the straight deal. He doesn't sugarcoat things. He's just kind of the really honest.
Yeah. Real deal. He's the real deal. And you know, this is an industry where we call it the wild, wild west. And people are so confused. They don't know what they need. There's so many services and modalities out there. And so what I love about him is that he does keep it real, and he provides great information that he's put out there on, you know, social media platforms. And so now we get to have him in here today and get some great takeaways.
Yeah, because I'm tired of playing whack-a-mole. Yeah. All right, let's go. Welcome, Dr. Amir Karim, a.k.a. the hot doc. Sorry, had to go there. Had to go there. I'm taking off my Mrs. Magoo glasses, but I had to get a good look before I took them off. Thank you so much for being here. And Michelle and I are really excited because I've been talking about you incessantly since your episode, and she follows you incessantly. And this is going to be a great opportunity for you to have the platform to give all of us an idea of how we make our faces look and feel as good as we do on the inside. So let's go.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm really excited to actually be with you guys and share some of these concepts, because I think people really need to know what it takes to do that in the most efficient and easy way possible. I think people are so confused and oftentimes misled into different directions that aren't always productive and disappointing. So any opportunity to share that, I'm happy to do so.
Awesome. I'm excited to talk about it. And I know I spent 20 years of my career in this field working with patients. And the number one thing I would hear is, especially from the women 50 and older, I want to look better, not different.
Yeah.
And this is you all over, because when I started following you, I was like, look at his work. It's absolutely gorgeous. And people look refreshed and they still look like themselves. They just look like, they've got that more youthful appearance. And so I'm excited that we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So how would you guys like to get started?
I think we're asking in the spirit of she's a 10 times five. It's the five takeaways on these
episodes. How do we get there?
Yeah. So give us your five, and then I'm sure we'll have a bunch of fun questions for you along the way.
Absolutely. So here's where it comes down. You nailed it. When almost 20 years of doing this now, and no one wants to look like a different version of themselves, at least not the ones that I see. And I think patients who come, right around the perimenopause, postmenopause ages, the face starts to take a change. And there's hormonal reasons why that happens. I mean, it's estrogen drops, then, a series of changes to the skin and the shape of the face starts occurring. So what I've noticed is that when that happens, people start to look unfamiliar to themselves, start to feel like they're almost like wearing a mask, because it's kind of a funny little trick that our minds play on us, in the sense that our actual sense of self doesn't really change, but yet our chronological age changes. And with it, at some point, all these physical manifestations start to happen as well. How old do you, close your eyes and tell me how old do you feel? And how old are you actually? And there's like a 20, 30 year gap between those two numbers. It's like everyone seems to feel kind of frozen in their 30s, yet, they could be 50 or 60. And when the physical manifestations start, manifesting, it's like, wait a minute, that's not cool. And I want to do something about it. And that's what basically is the entire, I would say, motivation and demand for cosmetic and plastic surgery and aesthetic, industry work is people are striving for that. But at the end of the day, if you don't know what it takes to, rewind, as opposed to kind of go into these different tangents and look like a different person, then it can be also equally as disheartening and frustrating, going down that road and not getting what you originally wanted, which is simply to look as young as you feel. And I think that notion has been my driver all the way through. And I think that has really kind of led to some principles that I want to share. And I think it'll make everything a lot simpler and easier. And principle number one is that what makes up a young looking face is basically a combination of young looking skin and young looking facial shape. So what does young looking skin look like? It's basically supple. It's kind of has a thickness to it. It's clear. It doesn't have a bunch of discolorations, whether they're brown spots from sun exposure, red spots from broken capillaries, and it doesn't have fine lines and wrinkles, right? That's like young looking skin in a nutshell. Then when you think about facial shape, you look at it and you got a firm looking jawline, neck is nice and firm, midface isn't crowding around the nasolabial folds, the corners of the eyes aren't hooding down, you don't have excess skin all over the eyelids, and the lip is in a good youthful position. So all of that together, kind of we describe it as like the heart-shaped face of youth, and then a triangular, with a base, like a normal upright triangle as aging, where everything kind of goes this way. Or another kind of image is basically you turn into like a rectangle, right? It's like everything gets longer and more square down below. So those are, that shape aspect is equally as important as skin. And this is kind of like the simple division. Skin is really up to the person to manage, but it is like a individual, do it at home, take care of it. Your skin can literally not age if you do it the right way. I mean, it's a crazy notion to think about, but there's plenty of evidence and we'll talk about what it takes to basically keep your skin from aging. And then when it comes to facial shape, very simply, once the shape is quote unquote misshapen, then that's when you go visit your plastic surgeon, facial rejuvenation surgeon, and you do things like the vertical restore or some, deep plate facelift and da 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 to get the shape back up into position. very efficient, very simple, and then off you go. So looking at what it takes to kind of like do it in a stepwise fashion, I mean, number one, when it comes to skin, it starts with a lifestyle, a healthy lifestyle. I mean, the skin is an organ, right? At the end of the day, it's like, it's a reflection of our overall health. So if we're drinking a ton, if we're smoking, if we're, you know, bathing in the sun constantly, just living, you know, having tons of stress, not sleeping well, guess what shows? It's our skin, right? What ages us, believe it or not, like 70% of the things that I mentioned that happens with skin aging are directly related to sun exposure, right? Discoloration, accelerated collagen loss, all that kind of stuff. Now, in the background of all of it, your collagen is diminishing as time goes on anyway. Believe it or not, it peaks at age 29 or 28, somewhere in that range. And then it's like a slow descent until you get to perimenopause. And then it really starts accelerating after that. When estrogen levels drop, you see the collagen production curves really drop with it. And that's like when you start to see the skin thinning and all that other stuff. So really at the crux of it all, when it comes to skin, it's like habitual, you know, like really focused, deliberate approaches to healthy lifestyle and healthy skin habits, which at the end of the day is harder to, you know, accomplish more than probably anything else, because it's okay. It's like fun to go in and get a treatment once in a while, but it's the hard work is the stuff you have to do every single day, right? Apply active ingredients, you know, keep yourself out of the sun, live a healthy lifestyle. And even for myself, I would say, that has probably been overall the hardest thing that I've ever, you know, I mean, I went 11 years without exercising during my residency and surgical training days. I was just so busy. I just felt like that was the one thing I was willing to give up on. But, you know, I mean, that, imagine if you never came back from that, like what you're at 50, I feel better, almost 50. I feel better than I did even in my 20s, because now I live like a totally different lifestyle. I exercise every day. I eat well. You know, I do all the things that are consistent with just being healthy, and the skin is going to benefit from that as well. But that's like the hard work, creating those type of habits. And then I would say the second piece, you know, sort of like pillar number two is people understand skincare, but they don't understand it properly. Like, what is it mean to be on a good skincare routine? It's actually, as simple as it might sound, is actually a little bit more complicated in terms of theory than it is. Because remember, your skin is aging in a multifaceted way. It's, as we mentioned, losing collagen, which has those manifestations of fine lines and wrinkles and thinning. It gets dehydrated with age. It gets pigmented. The oil balance changes, so you get more pores. Pores get clogged. They become dilated. So there's all these kind of changes that are happening in the skin. So the things that you actually need to do for your skin is do something that has an impact at the genetic level, the DNA level, that is actually going to stimulate collagen. It's going to slow down pigment production at the melanocyte level. It's going to unclog pores, you know, all these different things. So it actually, when you look at what it takes to do the right things for your skin, it ends up being like, you know, categorically like 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 steps of traditional, you know, things like you need a retinol, you need a vitamin C. These are categories of active skincare ingredients. It takes like a lot of stuff. You need, you know, oil production, you know, cleanser, all these different components, hydrators, all that. And when you put it all together, it's like it becomes overwhelming for a lot.
Okay, of people, right? I got a question here. So yeah. I know that they're, especially if they're 10 times fives or higher,
yeah,
we screwed the pooch on a lot of this because we weren't educated. I mean, we baked ourselves in the sun. Oh, yeah. We had bad eating habits. So for those listening or watching and they want to know, God, is it too late? Can you reverse any of the skin aging part?
100%. And we see it every day. Like even my wife, who is literally, I mean, we're all in the same generation in the sense of like everyone we grew up with, and I'm sure you guys were the same, is like, you know, sun-kissed skin, lay by the pool, you know, tanning lotion is like, tanning beds, etc. So what's fascinating, what's beautiful about it is, yes, absolutely, you can reverse those changes. Like I'll tell you, like my wife at age 35, she had significantly more sun-damaged skin than and less supple skin than she has at nearly 50, because in the last 15 years, she's been like rock solid on the right things to do for her skin. And her skin literally has improved. And we see it all the time with our patients. Also, we do surgery on them. Then they go off and start taking care of their skin. We see them back at a year later. Their skin looks significantly better. And then that, you know, 2 years later, it looks even better. So the beauty of it is these things can be reversed. But the key, though, is to have patience with it, because nothing is going to happen immediately overnight. Like somebody described it as like a, you know, like an aircraft carrier trying to make a U-turn in the ocean, as opposed to a speedboat. Like surgery, like when your jowls are sagging, you come in the OR with me and 3 hours later, you're right there, right? But the skin is not going to, there's nothing you can do for the skin that's going to reverse course that quickly. It's a slow, steady process. And that's why pillar number one is so important, is you got to get on the right habits, but you got to couple your habits with the right active ingredients on a daily basis to be able to make that. So what's fascinating is each of these, you know, really powerful active ingredients have a very direct, you know, sort of like role in the process. And you don't want to, you know, buy an expensive moisturizer, you know, go to some luxury goods store and buy like a $300 moisturizer and think you're doing the right thing for your skin, because all you're doing at that point is just taking care of the moisture aspects of your skin.
And I think that's what a lot of women do. I think 100%. They're not looking at this, you know.
They go get the little tiny jar of La Mer and they think that's going to solve their problems.
Exactly. And that's what was, quite frankly, so frustrating for me to hear and see from my patients, is like the lack of understanding, but also the how easy it was to be lulled and fooled into this misdirection. What a costly misdirection that is, not just in terms of money, but time. Because at the end of the day, what we talked about is like what motivates them to buy it in the first place is their desire to look as young as they feel. And then when they get onto the wrong combination of things or lacking certain things, they're never going to improve their skin, literally never going to improve it. So then they're like wasting all this time, and then they get disappointed, then they get, you know, down. And so I think there's a lot of, unfortunately, sort of mistrust and just sort of like, you know, it's just a bunch of smoke and mirrors. They're just trying to sell me stuff, et cetera, when it comes to skincare. And the thing is, I've seen it from a slightly different perspective, because I understood it from like the science point of view, right? And I also saw it from the perspective of like having the opportunity to see literally thousands of patients who maybe they're 65, 70, had like skin that looked like their 30s, and asking them, hey, what do you do for your skin? It always was the same things. It was like sun protection, retinol, vitamin C, consistency, 40 years. And their skin, like literally in their 70s, looks no different than like a 30-year-old. And that's the stuff that kind of got me realizing that, wow, that, you know, that sort of exercise, that combination, that commitment is worth the while if you want to play the long game and see those changes happen. And it's the only thing that, believe it or not, of the three things that happen with aging, which is changes in the skin, changes in volume, changes in laxity, the first one is the only thing you can actually control. The other two are just simply going to happen. And that's where, you know, you need a surgeon or whoever to address them for you. This is all the balls in your court. So that aspect of it is, you know, super, super important, because if you're young enough to be listening to this and you're like, okay, I can prevent my skin from aging. If your skin has aged and you're in your 50s or whatever, and you want to return it, by all means, it's never too late. By no stretch of the means, it's too late. You will see progress as early as even months into it, if that sort of that commitment is there behind it. So that's why I put one and two sort of close to one another, because you can't have one without the other, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, you know, number three, you know, even though it's kind of a reiteration of good skincare habits, but it's really important to look at the consistency of use of these active products. Because remember when I said the science behind it, so I'm just going to say something quickly about that, not to like get into the weeds on you know, all this stuff. But the changes that you're trying to create are born at the genetic level, meaning that if you're decreasing the production of collagen over time and you're increasing the production of melanin, right? Those are the kind of standard things that are happening. Then what you need to do is you need to do something that's going to reverse those two things, right? And where does that reversal happen? It happens at the DNA level. I mean, it happens at the nucleus, meaning you're sending a signal into the cell saying, you know what, start making more collagen, start decreasing the production of melanin. And that's what those particular ingredients are working on. They're actually going into the cell signals and making these positive changes that we're looking for happen. But guess what? If you stop, you know, you're using it for 2-3 months or a month or whatever it is, and you're just kind of getting things ramped up and you stop using it, guess what happens? Everything gets down regulated again and goes back to normal. the exact same way as if you were committed to taking great care of your body. Your diet is in great shape. You're exercising every day. You're starting to build body mass. You're starting to lose fat. Everything is heading in the right direction. Everyone's, you know, you start to feel great about yourself. And then guess what? You kind of get a little bit lazy. Something comes up and you stop doing it. How long does it take for us to reverse course? And we're back to kind of square one again, right? Yeah. And that's that atrophy that happens to our body is happening at the cellular level and the skin as well. So consistency and continuity are like this. They have to go together if you're going to see the changes build on themselves. So it's a kind of like you make this commitment to yourself that you're like, all right, this stuff is worth my while. I'm just going to make it part of my life for the rest of my life. Like there's not going to be a day that goes by that I'm going to slip and then, you know, on and off. But that's how people interact with skincare in general. I mean, you look at what women have in their drawers, right? I mean, it's funny, like people send me pictures all the time of like, oh, look at my drawer full of stuff. Like they start something, stop something,
yeah.
Stop something. And it's like, on and on and on. And meanwhile, you're literally going nowhere but backwards because the genetic changes that are aging you are just floating you down the river the opposite direction. And you're not beating the current going the other way by starting and stopping. And so the consistency is absolutely.
And changing. Wouldn't you say too? Changing product.
No,
you know, totally. You're using this for a month and then you flip over to something else.
No, and that's the thing. It's like it boggles me because if it makes sense for you to change if you're not on the right thing.
Right.
But if you find the right thing, then stick with it and stick with it forever. Like, I mean, don't change. Yeah. But that's like a almost like a cultural thing that needs to change, you know, when it comes to skincare habits. It's like we gotta kind of like do a little bit more homework. Identify what we need to do and then just stick with it and not budge, you know, not get swayed because our girlfriend says this or an ad in Facebook says that. Like have faith in your knowledge, empowerment to know that you're doing the right things and then just go head into it and close your
eyes.
Yeah. Fall in.
Yeah. Well, I think you're exactly right. I have so many girlfriends that it sounds awful, but they call themselves product whores because they always want the latest and greatest. They get lured into really good marketing efforts, whether that be on social media or somewhere else. And they collect all these things and, you know, the stuff that really works, it just goes to the back of the drawer.
No, and honestly, that was, to be perfectly frank, I mean, for me, a huge motivation to develop the Trifecta in the first place, you know, was because I saw the challenges my patients were having. I mean, when I put them on like 8 things, because I know that they need those 8 things, it was like super expensive. It ended up being like $800-$900 of products.
Right.
It was expensive, but it was also time consuming.
Time consuming. Like nobody wants to do 8 products.
It's hard, right? It takes like you come after a night of being out and about and you're all full day at work and you're getting ready to go to bed and you got to stand in front of your sink and mirror for like 15, 20 minutes.
Your husband's waiting for sexy time. Let's go.
And they're getting upset and it's like,
hold on, honey.
I got another 10 minutes to go. So yeah. So the thing is, my whole concept was to shove everything that we know you need into 3 steps, take 2-3 minutes to do it, no excuses, no needing to overthink it, just boom, off you go. So to me, it's kind of like a revolution in terms of skincare. Like, I mean, it's just such a no-brainer from an ease point of view and a comprehensiveness point of view. But that was like the idea behind it. And really kind of the motivation was to get people to feel comfortable sticking with the thing. And going forward, knowing that we're taking away some of the confusion behind it or the mistrust behind it, and just be like, you got it. And then the nice thing is, it's not just, you know, and this is just sort of a general thing, is anytime you use something like that, you got to know that it's being clinically tested too, because it's not enough for like some doctor like myself to step up and say, oh, I made this thing, or I label, put my name on it or whatever the thing is, and that, you know, you should buy it, it works. Like what is like third party testing show? You know, I think people don't take that piece seriously enough. It's like, you got to have an independent lab, look at this stuff, use study subjects, measure this stuff objectively, meaning like, you know, there's devices that look at UV levels of the skin, pore size, like, you know, moisture, fine lines and wrinkles, all under microscopic levels and digitally that No one can make up those numbers. It's like, it is what it is. Everyone's blind to the patient. The subjects don't even know what they're putting on their skin. They just go in and get these things tested. And then at that point, you're like, okay, if there's something real here, then it's worth my time, effort, and money to go forward with it. So I would say for the skin piece, those three things are like absolutely critical, you know? And I think even somebody who's say sagging or whatever it is, if they have nice, luminous, bright, clear looking skin, they feel better about themselves, even with the, you know, sort of like other aging changes that might require surgical, they'll still feel better. And if they happen to get their skin sorted out before surgery, and then they get surgery, well, then they really look like 30-year-olds afterwards. Because if you got great skin and we get the shape right, then there's really no physical manifestation of aging, period. And that's always like the most amazing outcomes that we produce. So I would say number four is basically, you know, and this is also, I would say, equally as important as everything we're saying here, is when the time comes, when there is, you know, all those like lax type changes, skip all the nonsense. I think at 20 years, I can say this boldly, like 20 years of, you know, trying the stuff, like seeing the stuff, like I'm talking about like threads and fillers for facelifts and like energy devices, thermoagule therapy, da, 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 you name it. Every name you can think of has like a different spin on these things. All of that stuff you can put it in a category and just say, this is not going to get the job done. Simple as that. Like, I mean, make it really simple.
Yep.
When the time comes, when there's enough laxity that's bugging you enough in the right time in your life, you just go in and get this stuff sorted out surgically, one stop, 2-week recovery, whatever, find a good surgeon, off you go, done, then get back onto, you know, sort of not thinking about your face anymore and just doing the thing. The thing is, like, you look at the, and again, we're all guilty of it because we, you know, in the beginning, we didn't know better. It just took us some time to realize it, but there's still a lot of this going on, obviously. I don't do that stuff at all anymore. But the thing is, you look at the lifestyle it takes for these people to manage that type, like every 6 months in for more filler, every six months to a year in for threads, this, that. You accumulate the costs, the complications, the time, the distortion that starts to happen as a result of that over a 5 to 10 year period of time for people doing this stuff. And it's like, it's a big deal. Like, it's not.
I love that you talk about this because not enough people are. And I always say, I'm like, someone's got to be paying for those pieces of equipment. So you go into the offices and a lot of times, and people go in, they have certain budgets set aside, or, you know, they're thinking they're going to get this dramatic result when we all know that's not true.
No, because the thing is, it's not treating the actual problem. No, it's just not treating the problem. So even if you're trying to camouflage, you know, if you have a jowl, you have some jowling, you try to put filler here and filler here. Well, you're putting volume in a place that never had volume to begin with. Yep. Then what you end up after several treatments is your jaw starts looking like heavy, like a linebacker. It's you still look like a rectangle. You just look like a heavier rectangle, you know, and it still didn't do anything to actually like contour your face back up into position. So it's like, again, at some point we all have to just be really honest with ourselves and just be straight, like, okay, it makes sense, you know, if you can avoid surgery, like if there's some way to do it, like we all understand why we got interested in it, but at some point you got to be honest with yourself and say, you know what, as a provider, be like, no, that we've tried this a lot and it didn't seem to work. We got to stop, like, you know, taking our patients' money and doing things that aren't going to give them a benefit, you know? And I think it's interesting. I always worry like someone's going to put a hit on me whenever I talk about this on Instagram, because I've been pretty...
I love it. I saw it too. I saw it for years, and that's why I had a business where I would coach people. I'm like, listen, I'm not medical, but I'm going to tell you, I've seen thousands of people, like, this is, you know, this is what happens when you go into the office. So go to a doctor that's going to keep it real, because nothing's going to replace surgery. I mean, you want to get rid of it, you got to have it removed. It's not coming out through, radio frequency. Ain't happening.
Yeah. No, I mean, we even get, like, we have spa owners who are patients that, like, oh, yeah, every 6 months I do Morpheus 8 all over, da, da, da. And it's like, oh, I'm just getting tired of going in every 6 months. And it's like, it just relapses back to where it was. It's like, but they won't tell their clients that, of course. You know what I mean? It's one of those situations where at the end of the day, the bottom line is, I think people are, you know, starting to put more emphasis on knowledge and empowerment. And you know, it's like when we put these kind of posts out, you just look at the comments and it's like, you know, people are raising their hands like, yeah, that's exactly how my experience was with it. And I agree. So it, you know, the truth is in the reality, and the reality kind of has an opportunity to kind of display once you put it out there. So I think,
Other thing I wanted to add, cause I think this is really important, at least from my experience, is I think the way it's marketed is there's a lower barrier of entry.
Yeah.
You know, recovery time, but cost basis. And so we kind of think, well, guy, you know, it's $2,000 or something to do the deep radio frequency. And, but that's better than not spending all this money. But we start to accumulate all these things where if we had just saved it all and did it right, you know, one time, we'd be much happier off.
Yeah. Lori, you bring up such a good point. So obviously, you know, there's surgeons at all different price levels and all that kind of stuff, right? I mean, so you recognize that surgery can be very expensive. It can be less expensive. It could be all over the place, right? Depending on who you choose to go with. But the reality of it is that these, for the person who is in a position where they can't just go out and choose the best surgeon in the world and say, I'm going to go to this person. And they complain that, you know, surgery is expensive. Yet they're doing these type of treatments left and right, because they're doing it in like $1,000, $2,000 increments. They don't realize that in the last 5 to 10 years of doing these treatments, they could have paid for two facelifts, like literally could have paid for two facelifts, because it literally, I mean, I see it all. We used to do this stuff all the time. A patient would walk out of fillers in our office, 2-3 fillers. It was like $3,000-$4,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Luma is like $1,000-something a syringe, one cc of syringe, you know? So it's like, it gets expensive. Sculptra, expensive, you know, all these different things get expensive. But when you think like you're paying it in little, you know, sort of like a here and there, you think that doesn't add up. It's still coming out of the same pot that eventually is going to pay for your facelift down the road. That's why I say, like, forget all that stuff and just plan, you know, on getting it done one time, one expense. Off you go, save up for that moment, keep it as like a separate fund or whatever, knowing that it's like if you own a car, if you have a house, at some point it needs to be remodeled, at some point the car needs to go through a tune-up or whatever it is, and it's going to cost, you know, a little bit to do that. So at the end of the day, like, plan for those known expenses that are going to come, and don't waste your money on the stuff, you know, in between. And that's, I would say, it's probably the most efficient and clean way to manage the aging process. And then I think number five is just this concept of doing your research. Like, I have to say, the patients who come to see me, I admire them so much, because they literally, each one of them tell me, like, oh, I've been researching this for 2 years, for 3 years, like all over the country, all over the world. Like, I'm looking, I'm learning, da da da. And I've chose, you know, I felt comfortable and I chose you, right? That is the, I mean, you're giving your face to somebody at the end of the day, right?
Yeah.
You can't just like go to, you know, the person who's just down the block just because it's convenient to do that necessarily, or that your girlfriend went to them for a, you know, breast augmentation and they, you know, they love the doctor and they think, oh, that's going to be the best person for my face as well. Like, you got to take this stuff a little bit more. And that is not just for surgery, but it's also for, you know, products, and it's also for treatments and everything you're going to do. Just dig in a little bit, take your time, do some research, and try to figure things out. Like, take ownership of those decisions and look out for yourself the best, because I think the attitude of, oh, I just trust so-and-so at this med spa because they, you know, they're a doctor or they're a nurse practitioner or whoever, and they, if they say so, it must be true. I wouldn't take it that way. I think it's not that they're necessarily trying to like deceive you, but people operate at different paradigms. Like, some people really believe what they're doing is the right thing, and yet they're completely wrong the way they're viewing, you know, the aging process, you know, as a provider. So they're like, they're kind of in their own heads thinking, yeah, if I just fill, that will take care of everything. I'm doing the best thing for this patient who, quote unquote, doesn't want surgery, but they don't even realize what they're doing is necessarily wrong. Like, it's up to you to figure that out, you know?
But I will add, a lot of those places are, you know, they're run, they're a business, and they are looking at metrics daily. So, well,
I didn't want to say that, but I 100% agree with
I'll
you.
I'll say it. I wrote a book about it. I mean, that's why I wanted to warn people about the good, bad, and ugly, because I was like, listen, someone's got to pay for that. And when you go into corporate medicine, that kind of corporate medicine model, everything is looked at. They're looking at how many people call, how many people show, how many people don't show, you know, how many times they did, how many you booked, your upsells, everything is looked at.
So true. I totally agree. And now that you open up that door, I'll just add a couple of just points. I totally agree. 100%. It's an unfortunate way. And I think in the last podcast, Lori, we talked about this. It's an unfortunate way to look at people who are basically, in my mind, actual patients, no different than somebody coming in with a medical condition. Remember, the medical condition here is the way the person feels about the aging changes. And their desire and their hope is they're going to a medical provider to solve that problem for them, just the same way they would if they had, you know, like a deviated septum or an ACL tear or a brain tumor or anything. I mean, that's what we're here for as doctors and as healthcare professionals, is to offer them a true, you know, from point A to B sort of guidance about how they can solve the problem that they're coming in for. And, you know, in our past, we used to have, you know, as part of these kind of, you know, filler and whatever companies, they would send in their consultants to kind of like look over your practice and figure out ways you can. And the first thing they would always talk about is like financial targets. And I swear, in our entire, to this day, we've never had a financial target. Like literally, and they were always there, like they would want us to create one. I'm like, that's not what this is. Like, we're just going to focus on doing good work, treating our patients like they are our family members, advising them the exact same way. The rest of it will take care of itself. Like, there is no, but that's a completely reverse approach to like the way most of these situations are geared up. It's like there's a thing, and then you have to sell this much, and you have to upsell that much, which the difference between going in and getting one filler versus somebody recommending two or three fillers, if there's like a quota that needs to be filled, you know, that's going to be, you know, you're going to get filler in places that you don't need it or more than you need in situations.
All the time they're walking out. And I love that you said it. And then I'm a firm believer. My philosophy was always serve the patient, the revenue will follow. Yeah. And you have, you know, do the right thing. And I saw the other side of it, and it's heartbreaking. And you just want people to know. So your tip number five, you couldn't scream it louder. Do your research.
Totally. Yeah. And I love it when people see those, when we put these posts out, they're like, oh, I was going to go do X, Y, and Z treatment. Now I'm not. I hear it all the time. And I mean, it's like, it's like a, you know, it's a small pie of the world that is hearing this. But at the end of the day, it's like so necessary, you know, so necessary to, I mean, for anything we're ever going to do medically or any kind of healthcare related, we got to just really take ownership of those decisions for ourselves.
Yeah, and you're putting that great information out there because social media is, I mean, we call it the wild, wild west and the aesthetic field. I mean, people, they just don't know what to believe. They see they see the highlight reel, they see the sound bite, and they love a before and after, and they don't talk about the pre and post and anything in between. So they're like, oh, I want that.
Well, the scariest thing is, honestly, is when we see one of our before and afters taken and put into, you know, someone's not like, I mean, I've seen it in like a skincare, you know, real advertisement where they're saying like, you know, like this dramatic before and after that we post is like a result of some peel or some whatever, like that was like some skincare product or something that they're selling, or like some other doctors taking our before and after and using it as like a non-surgical, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like my wife's face has been on probably at least like 10 different, you know, things. It's like, as like a, you know, like, because we did a fat transfer on her, and it's like, you know, they're talking about fillers being or this or that, like some laser they do and all this kind of, it's just crazy. But yeah, it really, really is, unfortunately, I think, too much of a monetized type of a, you know, field and environment. And it needs, I think the patient ultimately is the one who can like put an end to that type of, you know, misguidance.
And people like yourself that are speaking out. And like I said, kudos to you, because a lot of docs want to say it, but they don't.
I know.
Yeah. And you know, what's really a shame is, you know, I'm in that mode of the aging. And when you turn 50, it's like falling off a fucking cliff, right? And you look in the mirror and you're like, oh gosh, where did that come from? It is an emotional journey. When you prey on a, like, and women in particular, I think, you know, we kind of, as women, look through the lens that men kind of typically get better with age. It's this weird thing, dichotomy that happens.
Yeah.
And I feel like, especially with social media, that people really manipulate the feelings of women because it's not easy to age, period.
Right. That's why I said, it's like, I mean, it's the emotion we're treating. It's the, you know, the feeling of discontent and the feeling of really, I mean, at the end of the day, it's kind of a, if you think about it for a second, you're like, okay, wait a minute, I'm actually going to live, knock on wood, if I'm healthy, et cetera, I'm going to live, you know, into my 80s, 90s, maybe even longer, you know, right? And you're 50 and you're seeing these changes happen. That's a long way to live with these changes, right? It's a long time to live with these changes that are not getting better. They're not staying the same. They're only getting worse. So our patients really, I mean, at the end of the day, they come in, it's like the same thing. It's like, there's a sense of like loss of hope, you know, before this point, it's like fear of, you know, just not recognizing themselves and living, having to force to live with it. And then when this is offered to them and they have the opportunity to kind of reverse everything, it's like the joy and the, you know, all that comes from such a, you know, real place. And I think anyone who's practicing this, you know, it's such a privilege to be able to be in a position to help people in that way and to take advantage of that with and not give them what they're actually searching for and hoping for is such a, like, to me, it's such a, I don't even know. I mean, I want to be polite about it, but it's like, it really, really bothers me a lot.
Yeah, you know? No, it does me too. But I love that you touched on one of the things that made me, I always said I had such a love affair with the industry because the stories of the after when they would see themselves in the mirror and the difference and the life changes. And it was, there was nothing else like it. I used to say I got more out of it than they did because it was, and I'm sure you have hundreds and thousands of stories like that. And so you're making a difference. You're changing people's lives. And I always, anytime I get a chance to say that to a doctor, like, if, I know you're in surgeries and you're doing it, but at the end of the day, you are making a powerful impact on people.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I feel that. And that's, again, you know, that's the inspiration of doing it day in and day out at the end of the day, you know, and it was really kind of quite honestly, the inspiration behind putting an honest product out there as well, because I mean, that industry, more than even surgery and all this other, is like, it's filled with false claims and false promises and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's like, you know, doing it right will it has a lot of intrinsic value as well, you know, at the end of the day.
Well, let's talk about that really briefly, because I am a subscriber of Carum MD Skin, obsessed, and I think what my favorite product actually is polish. So I do use Trifecta and I do polish just because I get very dry skin, so exfoliation is not.
She has the been best. Talking about it nonstop, so
no, I have.
So, you talking about it and today I'm in.
Yeah, so you want to kind of show, because I love the way it's packaged.
Yeah, it would polish. Okay, so this is polish. Mm-hmm. So it basically it's cool. It's like it's a powder. It's an enzymatic powder. So exfoliation is the act of removing dead, you know, skin cells off it. And I think about it as like, you know how you have an onion, you peel those dull layers off, and then you get to that glistening layer. Mm-hmm. Exfoliation is peeling that stratum corneum off and getting down to the more glistening layer of skin. And as we age, there's just thickening of that layer and needs to be exfoliated. Now, what are the ways you can exfoliate? You can use microdermabrasion, you could use chemical peel, you could use a full field resurfacing. And those are all great, but they require, you know, go into an office and do that kind of stuff. Polish uses an enzyme that basically digests the dead stuff off the skin. So the bromelain and papain are the basic enzymes that do that. In addition, it has like vitamin C, has a number of other different things in there that nourish the skin and brighten its skin and all that, azelaic acid, etc. So the idea is you put this on, you put a few drops of you know, water, it turns into kind of a little bit of a paste, you put it all over, leave it on for 3 to 5 minutes, it does its thing enzymatically, and then it comes out and your skin feels like a lot softer. You do that two or three times a week, and it just keeps the process of exfoliation, you know, gradually kind of like keeping dead stuff off the skin, but also chipping away at the layers of dead tissue on the surface. So it's the act of exfoliation, especially for mature skin, is really, really important. And then, you know, as far as like Trifecta goes, it's like the original, you know, motivation was basically Illuminate, which is 21 different active ingredients in this thing. I mean, every category of anti-aging skincare stuff that you need is literally in this. That was the challenge. How do you get everything to live in harmony with each other and get it to basically not like blow up the skin when you put it on? I mean, normally if you're going to put on a lot of stuff, especially coming from different brands and all this kind of stuff, they can be very they don't work well together. They don't play in the same sandbox well together. But this, I mean, it took almost 4 years to get this thing to be available in a way that people with any type of skin, you know, oily, dry, young, mature, like male, female, could benefit from this and tolerate it. You know, so it's kind of like this. But then once this came out, or when we was getting formulated, realized cleansing is a really important part of skincare too. It's like you can't just go and put this on your skin without proper cleansing. So, and there's a lot more to cleansing than meets the eye. You know, non-foaming, gentle. You know, all these things that, because it's like things that I've learned along the way. It's like foaming is abrasive, it dries the skin more, etc., puts more inflammation to the skin. So you actually don't want a foaming cleanser. You don't want an abrasive condition to your skin. You want everything to kind of calm so that when you put product on it, it literally just absorbs like a sponge onto the skin. So that, you know, so we wanted to control that step and develop this product called Rinse that has like a bunch of botanical stuff like aloe and a number of other things to calm and soothe the skin in addition to properly cleansing it deeply as well. And then as this was, you know, sort of brewing in the lab, Illuminate realized more and more the importance of vitamin C as an anti-aging sort of powerhouse piece. And vitamin C is like the standard is ascorbic acid. We wanted something that outperformed ascorbic acid. So there's a patented product that has three different types of vitamin C that, you know, are lipid, meaning like fat soluble and water soluble. The absorption is higher, the efficacy is higher, and again, it's, you know, has a number of other components to it. But when you do all these kind of, I mean, so we wanted vitamin C to have its dedicated steps to make sure it gets on the skin because it affects collagen growth, lightens the skin, it decreases pigmentation at the cellular level, has a lot of really antioxidant effects. It's such an important piece. So between all this, you're getting retinols, you're getting niacinamide, lipids, lighteners, they're botanical, non-hydroquinone, you name it, you get it. And then the idea was to get this all to where you can do it simply and quickly. So there's like no thought behind it. It's like, you don't have to worry about what goes on first, this, that. You just simply follow, wash your face, put the vitamin C on and put Illuminate on and then go to bed. And to do it to where you get high doses of it, but where your skin can tolerate, we had to split the doses so you could do it AM, PM, and then use micro-releasing kind of technology that allows like things like retinol and things like that to slowly break down into the skin as opposed to overwhelming it, so you can use it in the day and not have to worry about you know, sun issues and things like that. So a lot of thought went into it, but at the end of the day, the clinical studies literally were like off the chart, and that really was the thing that gave me the go-ahead confidence to you know, basically advocate for it and sell it and talk about it and really promote it at the end of the day, because it's a real deal kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah. Well, where? Yeah, no, it is. And it is very simple. And I, you know, I'm a hummingbird, so simplicity is key for me. All right, people. Yeah. You know what to do. Thank you so much for being here with us today. And it was great to have you back in Studio 50, although now it's remote. You always deliver.
You guys set up a great show. I mean, our last podcast was my favorite. You guys do a wonderful job. And it was fun to be able to share and talk about this, you know, again with you guys.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. And thank you, listeners, watchers, and we will catch you next week.